Amen, amen. It's so good to see everyone this morning. Repeat after me. God is good. All the time. God is good. Also repeat after me. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. We've come rejoicing this morning. We thank God for those men that have gone before us. We're appreciative to our dynamic song leader, Brother Jameson Rose, one of our deacons, Charles Dickerson III, and then his son, Charles Dickerson IV. Sounds like we got a dynasty going there. Amen. Amen. It's good to be able to have the first, second, and third, and fourth. We just come rejoicing. If you're here visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that you are an honored guest. We appreciate your presence. And I don't have any visitors cards, but I do know we have a couple of visitors. I'm going to call him out. We have a young man at the nursing home. Whenever I would go there, when we were doing Meals on Wheels, he was always waving and a beautiful smile and just a great personality. I'm going to raise your hand or stand or whatever. A good brother from the nursing home. He didn't fill out a card, but we'll get the name and all that. And we're just so happy that you're here with us today. And also, are there any other visitors to my left who are visiting with us this morning? Okay, no visitors to my left. If we have visitors to my right who would like to be acknowledged, please stand, tell us who you are and where you're from. Amen. Great to have you with us this morning. Great to have you with us. Anyone else? And so we're just so pleased to see all of those who are with us this morning. God certainly has blessed us tremendously. We have a little treat going on. You know, we support the Freedom broadcast that Sister Jatan Bishop has on radio and television, and so Redford this morning is on TV, at least so we're going to be recording for that, and so you can act just the same, but we thank God for this day and for the opportunity to be here and to share a word of God. Let me mention something very quickly, and then we will share the message with you. First of all, please, sympathy is extended to our Sister Collins on the passing of her brother-in-law, Michael. She is in, I believe it's Flint this morning, to be there with the rest of the family. And also want to say this, we really appreciate and we commend and we want to just let our young people who are graduating know how proud we are of you, and we want to support and promote you. We will be recognizing graduates in a couple of weeks, and so it's probably for Sunday, but we'll be doing that in a couple of weeks, and so just to make you aware. Please turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. And I'm going to read beginning at verse number 4. The Bible says, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. There was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God. And they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the bottom of the ship, or to hide or the hull of the ship, I should say, lay down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, how is it that you are sleeping? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. And each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. And then they said to him, tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and from what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I'm going to stop right there. As we preach the sermon, we will look at the rest. You know, we live in times when many people, men, women, and children, are choosing to go away from God. People are choosing to do other things rather than to serve God. As my wife and I left our home this morning, we observed that some people were manicuring their lawns. Some people were taking garbage in and out. Some people were even on roller skates, young children, rather than coming to worship God. We live in a time when people are going away from God. Pew Research indicates that there are less people today attending church services, and even those individuals who attend church services, who would call themselves faithful Christians, attend fewer church services than ever before. So we are living in a time when people are going away from God. I want to say this morning, as we enter into this message, we better be careful concerning this practice, because we will find ourselves leaving God, and when we leave God, it's not a good thing. So the message this morning is running from God. Running from God. The Bible tells us about one of his servants who tried to run away. One of his servants who tried to leave his presence. And he tried to ignore what God wanted him to do. Many of us have read the scriptures. Many of us have heard gospel sermons, but few of us have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're no different, because we find ourselves just doing any and everything but what God wants us to do. Jonah tries to run from God. He tried by ignoring the call for his service. God called him and told him to go, and I want you to cry out against that wicked nation of Nineveh, that wicked city, Nineveh. And for the reasons that we'll hear in a little bit, Jonah determined that it would be better for him to go somewhere else. It's like going to Las Vegas when we're supposed to have a gospel meeting going on. Wait a minute, I haven't gotten into that part yet. Hold on. He determined that he would ignore God, and so what he did, being a servant just like many of us, he determined that I'm going to ignore this call. As a matter of fact, it don't matter about the talents and the abilities that I have. I know I can get the job done. I know I can preach loud and hard, but I don't like those Ninevites. They've been bad in the past. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to say, no, Lord, not this time. You know, God wants to use us sometime. God wants to use us to his glory. God wants us to use our talents and our abilities to his glory in his kingdom. By the way, We use them for everybody else. we use them for General Motors and IBM. We use them on the sports field. We use them for everybody else. Why don't we use our talents and abilities for God? So then we have sharp minds. We have quick hands. We have strength and knowledge. Oh, you know, some of us pride ourselves. Hey, I can do this, you know, snap and hey, it's done. Hey, I'm on it. I got it. Isn't that what we say? But why don't we own it, and how come we don't have it when it comes to God? Why is it that we are timid? Why is it that we tend to run away from God? Think about it. Why not use your talents, your abilities for God? Well, you see, Jonah attempted to flee. He determined he was going to go to Tarsus. He went in a completely different direction. He said, I'm going to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Well, you see, he hasn't learned the lesson that some of you and I haven't learned. And that is, we can't run away from God. Listen to this. In Genesis 3, 8 through 10, the Bible says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard you. I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. You see, but what we don't understand, church, is that God sees us wherever we are. God sees us, and he knows whatever we do. You can't hide yourself in trees. You can't hide yourself behind bushes. You can't go anywhere and not know that God is not near. So then, let us notice Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23 and 24. The Bible says, can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not feel the heavens and the earth? Declares the Lord. There's no hiding place. You know, as young people, we played hide and seek. And you know, sometimes we'd spy out a real nice hiding place. But there's no hiding place where God can't find you. There's no place of darkness where God can't come and penetrate the darkness. God knows where you are. God knows what's on your heart. God knows what you are into right now. God knows what's going on in your life. Right now, you might be puffed up. Right now, you might think because you got that promotion, you this and that, but God knows where you are, and you better bring it back home. Let me say this. Jonah went to Joppa. He paid the fare, and he got on a ship. You see, sometimes we might think about running away from God, but Jonah ran away from God, amen? He paid the fare. And he got on the ship, and it was going to Tarsus, a total different direction from Nineveh. And he goes in, and he settles down. But let me say this first. You know, sometimes guilt will drive you to places you've never been before. Guilt drove him away from others and to the bottom of the ship. You see, he knew where he was supposed to be. You ain't got no business being in the club, so you sitting all the way in the back. Uh-oh, that's for another time. Guilt will drive you to places where you've never been before. Or if you've been there, you're trying to act like you're invisible and nobody gonna see you. He didn't fraternize with any of the crew. He paid his money, got on down to the bottom, and he's down there, and he's in Jonah's little world. You know, sometimes we find ourselves doing stuff like that in our little world, trying to run away from God. And then the text pointed out that a great storm that was ordered by God came upon them. You see, because God owns, God is in control of the seas, the wind, the sky, the rain, all of it. God is the master. God is the creator. And so God influenced the wind, which caused the sea to become unsteady. And then men are crying out, grown men. Grown men are crying on somebody's God. You see, you'll get to a point in your life when, regardless of who you are, if you've ever gone to a church and walked through the door, when you get sick enough, you'll call on somebody's God. Amen. Let me tell you, they were calling on God. And they were frightened, and they're throwing things over. And then they discover the captain. There's Jonah. Jonah's down in there sleeping. Sleeping in the midst of a storm. Well, you see, sometimes you can be so messed up. You can be so out of it. Or you can be so into your stuff that you won't even know a storm is going on in your life. You won't even know that a storm is going on around you. And so then, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Folks, we need to wake up. We need to arise. We need to find God and give God the glory. Some of us are walking around sleeping. Some of us are in the biggest storm of our life and we're asleep, just as if nothing's going on. Satan desires to sift you. Satan already has his hand on some of us. Folks, wake up. It is not time for trifling. It is not time for half-stepping. It is not time for running away from God, but it's time for getting right with God. You see, sometimes we try to hide from God by the things that we do. You see, we come late. I said that, yeah. We come late. We're the first one to leave the service. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that we have skills, talents, and abilities, but we won't use them for God. Sometimes we're hiding from God. Sometimes we're trying to run from God. Let us see what happens next. Brethren, we need to know something, and that is that there will be consequences when we run from God. God brought that great storm in Jonah's life, Jonah 1:4. And let me tell you, he will either bring or he will allow some storms to come into your life too, amen? And now, don't get me wrong, storms come in everybody's life, but I can tell you one thing, that if God is your captain, he will get you through the storm. That if God is leading, if God is flying your plane, he will land you safely on the other side. You know, Jonah didn't realize, as I said, that he was in a storm because he was sleeping. Jonah's misconduct, by the way, brought suffering on others. In Jonah 1:5, the men who were on that ship were on the verge of losing their lives because Jonah is trying to run from God. Jonah's trying to run from the presence of God. Jonah is being hard-headed. Jonah is being neglectful, like some of us. And there are others who are on the verge of losing their lives. How many children have gone to degradation because their parents never brought them to church? How many people needed a spiritual word in their life that they never got because someone who had the ability to be there and to say something didn't say anything? Well, let me tell you something this morning. We can bring suffering on our children. Our relatives can be less than they could be, all because we don't stand up for God. All because we don't speak up for God. All because we give mixed signals. Well, people say, well, you know, you can dilly-dabby out in the world, and you can come back and put a suit on Sunday and act like everything okay. But young people are sincere today. They say, man, I ain't going to be tripping like that. I'm just going to not even go. That's what young people are. They're real. They're real today. We want to play that game. I'm in, I'm out. I'm in, I'm out. But young people say, no, I ain't going to be tripping like that. I got something else to do. I ain't going to waste my time and still go to hell. They are smarter than we were. We need to wake up to that. Amen. But you know, people may also experience, and Jonah experienced tribulation in his life. You see, God can prepare stuff for you, or Satan has enough already prepared. You know, God will either allow it or God will prepare it for you. In case Satan don't have something, God can prepare it. It's to wake us up. It's to give us an opportunity to realize where we are, that we're sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Amen? So he prepared this great fish. And once the men determined, hey, we going through all this stuff because of the dude that's been sleeping downstairs. Got him up, brought him up, cast lots. God worked in the lots that time, fell on Jonah. And then Jonah, at least he had some righteousness in him. He said, hey, no sense of all you guys, you know, being in trouble because of me losing your life. Throw me into the water. I can tell you that's probably a happy crew. Did he say throw him in? Okay, here you go. You're in the water, man. And God prepared the big fish. And it came and swallowed Jonah. I don't know about you. Can you imagine yourself being in a closet for 3 days and three nights? There ain't no LED light bulbs inside the big fish belly either. Ain't no internet, Wi-Fi. Ain't none of that stuff going on down there. And they tell me that every creature has some kind of a digestive system. Man, we got some powerful stuff that's in our stomach, you know, that can eat up a whole bunch of things. Jonah finds himself in there, but let me know for surety that God is preserving him, even in the midst of this mess that he's in. God is preserving him. And something happened while he was there, and this is something that needs to happen to all of us. As he experienced this great tribulation in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, Jonah 1 and verse 17, the Bible says that he prayed and that he repented of his neglect for the Lord. And he pointed out the glory of the Lord, that I will turn my head and I will face toward the temple. I will give God the glory. I will give God the honor in my life. Mm-hmm. What does it take for us to turn our heads and turn toward the place of God and give God the glory in our lives? Well, you see, as he experienced that, when he prayed and when he repented, let me tell you something. God gave him a second chance. You see, because it's time to repent. When we repent, you know, God can do something with us. You see, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. God is long-suffering toward us. God wants us to get it together. God wants us to get it right. He doesn't want to hurt any of us. He doesn't want to see any of us lost eternally in hellfire. But if we will not repent, we can't be saved. Yes, time to repent. And because of his repentance and because of his praying to God, having a true change, God forgave him and gave him a second chance. God had the big fish spit him out on the shore. God gave him new marching off orders. Go, as I told you, now the second time, and proclaim what I will tell you to proclaim to Nineveh. And then we find that Jonah went to that great city. Oh, he didn't look, he went straight. Isn't it good that sometimes, you know, it's like that son, you know, Bible talks about it in Matthew 21, 28, 29. Who the father first comes to him and says, you know, I want you to go and do this. And he says, no, I'm not going. But then he thinks about it and he says, man, that wasn't right to do my dad that way. You know, he thinks about it, repents of it, and then he goes and he does it. Then there's another one who says, oh, yeah, dad, I do it. And never gets around to doing it. You know, that's the way we are. That's how we are. But God is good. He will, if you'll change your heart, he'll give you an opportunity to have a second chance to do it again. Amen. Some of us right now living on second chances. We better get it right. Amen. And so Jonah goes to this great walled city, this powerful nation, 120,000 people in the city. They tell me that the city is 60 miles long, that the walls are 100 feet high, and that the walls are wide enough for three chariots to line up side by side, that there are many towers, about 150 of them, that are stationed on this great wall city, the wall of this great city. And Nineveh goes, and it says that it's a three-day walk to walk from the beginning of the city to the end of the city. And Jonah begins, and he starts walking through the city, and he starts proclaiming, you know, in 40 days, you're going to perish. Repent, or in 40 days, you're going to perish. But guess what? He only got one-third of the way into the city. And the people began to repent. The people began to put on sackcloth and ashes, from the greatest to the small. The king heard about it and proclaimed that everyone would repent. Boy, isn't that a good thing? Nineveh, wicked as they were, when they heard the word of God, repented for that generation. You know, sometimes, yeah, let me say it this way. We are a generational society. Our generation does one thing. Another generation comes along, and they may do something else. The first generation tries to influence the second generation. But the people of that generation repented. Now, there were some folk who came along after them who went back to wickedness, and eventually God did destroy that city. But for the time that is now, who knows, for this time, for this generation, we need to stand up and we need to obey God. We need to respond to God because the time is now. We give them credit. I share this point with you, and the lesson is yours. Jonah, was blessed to have a second chance. Then he got a bad attitude. You can read chapter 4. And God had to teach him a lesson. You see, God is working with us. Sometimes we're just a mess. We get what we pray for, and then we say, well, Lord, you know, it ain't the right color. Children come back home, we say, well, I'm going to make them suffer. You know, we just a mess sometimes. But God is good. I share this with you, and the message is yours. Brethren, are you running from God? Know this, first of all, that you can run, but you cannot hide. God knows where you are. Listen to the psalmist when he said in Psalms 139, verses 7 through 12, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. We can't hide from God. We run from God when we don't lead or serve when we know we can. When you hide in the back of the church assembly, we're kind of acting like Jonah. Amen. Don't get me angry. I'm just preaching this morning, okay? Your leadership, your service is needed for God. Men and women, God wants to use you. Blessings come your way when you put God first. Matthew 6:33 points out that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto us. Stop running. God will provide all that you need. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 3, the Bible points out that all things that pertain unto life and godliness, God has provided for us. And if there's something that you need, God is so good, he can give it to you on the fly. Amen. That's just how good my God is. He has our back and he knows. And he's able to do above and beyond all that we can imagine. And guess what? He didn't accept Moses' excuses. And I don't think he's going to accept our excuses. Amen? What should we do? Pray to God and repent. God gives us second chances just like he did Jonah. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse number 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus spoke when he was here on earth, and as he spoke to this particular people, he said, I say unto you, except you repent, you shall also perish, or likewise perish. Luke 13 and 3. Repeated it again in verse number 5. We've got to change how we think about God. We've got to change how we think about treating God and serving God. And we've got to change what we give to God. We've got to give God our best. Because of your renewed commitment, who knows what family member or co-worker or neighbor or friend might be influenced for good. Because you get serious, because you make a change in your life, who knows what God can do in someone else's life. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to allow ourselves to be used by God. Let us stop running from God. Let us come back to God. And I want to say this here for the record. This message is more than a fish story. You see, because Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 30, and Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40, pointed out that just like Jonah would be in the earth, or would be in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And he pointed out that it was a sign to Nineveh, Jonah was. The Son of Man is a sign to that generation and to us. You see, Jesus knew about this fish story, amen? The Savior of the world. Jesus said that this was more than a fish story. That it represented our relationship with God. And that some of us need to learn the lesson from it. And the lesson is that stop running from God. Repent of it. Pray to God and serve God. The lesson is yours this morning. If you're here and you stand a guilty distance from God. If you're here and you have been running away from God, I want to encourage you to come back to God. If you're here this morning and you have not lived up to all that God, you know, wants you to do, pray about it, think about it, and give yourself wholly to God. You will not regret giving yourself to God. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jonah is there for folks who had not obeyed. A whole city repented. Someone can repent this morning. Someone can believe in Jesus Christ, confess his name, and be buried in baptism this morning and be saved. And then all of you got to do, all you have to do then is to walk in faithfulness. Be faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown that will not fade away. Walk in faithfulness. Do what God tells you to do as you study and learn his word. Live up to what God wants you to do. Find something that you can do that will be pleasing to God. Find something that you can do that will help to build the church up. Forget about gossiping. Forget about criticizing all the time. Get busy doing something and let somebody else criticize you. Amen. You see, you don't get criticized unless you're doing something. Amen. If you're here this morning, in all seriousness, if you need to come to Christ, please come to Christ right now. If you need to repent of your sins, please repent of your sins right now. If you need prayer or whatever you might need, please come as we together stand and sing.